ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. All present and accounted for as we are at Twin Peaks in Shenandoah, and you should be here too. The girls are waiting to see you, and everything is going on with plenty of televisions, the most beautiful setup for a Twin Peaks, inside, outside. Just bring your ride right here to the parking lot. Get on in, get that homemade, made-from-scratch food, the 29-degree beers, and enjoy yourself a Monday afternoon in the big city. Nick back at the studio keeping us on the air. Tyler here doing the same. My man Barry to my right. Fellas, what is going on?
You know, not only is this my favorite Twin Peaks because of the scenery and the setup.
And because it's a minute and a half from your house.
But it's also because I left at 12:20 to be here at 12:45. So you can suck it.
And you can kiss my ass.
Love it.
I took 99 around and around and around.
How'd that go?
Actually, it was smooth. Here, I'm not worried about On the way home is going to be...
It could be ugly.
Yeah, a can of crap.
Be glad you didn't have to make the drive, Nicholas. I mean, you know, it's all relative. You're missing the view, but be glad you didn't have to sit through the
traffic. I totally want to be there. I just didn't want to drive there, so I totally agree.
I get it.
Might I tell you guys quickly that as I got off of 99 onto 45 and I was coming this way, I was traveling at a pretty good rate of speed. And in the emergency lane, I noticed... there was a car and two people changing a tire. So as I was going by, I kind of glanced over and wanted to get out of their way. And I look at the guy who's, like, really pushing on the tire iron. And he went to kind of pull it upward, and his hand slipped off the thing, and he hit his girl right in the chin.
Nice.
And it absolutely stunned her. And I just looked in my rear view, and here's the guy like, "You okay? Are you okay?" Like, grabbing her face and everything like that. And she's, like, pushing him away. And I was like,
"Yeah,
that just went from bad to worse. A flat tire just turned into KOing your chick on the side of the road."
That's good times right there.
Yeah, that
I
was
like that.
Well done.
Yeah.
So, fellas.
Busy weekend.
Yeah, busy weekend starts Saturday morning when we thought all was good and well in Raiderland and that they had finally.
Kissed and made up.
Found a resolution. Antonio Brown was going to play Monday night. We're all good. We're all done. It's all behind us. Not so much. First, he recorded a private conversation with John Gruden, which he then subsequently put on the internet.
That's against the law.
Yeah. In the state of California, it definitely is. And then on top of that, when push came to shove, he was upset because the Raiders had said, all of your guarantees are void. You're basically playing week to week. So then he went back out and said, just cut me. I want out. And they obliged. And lo and behold, I was playing basketball when this was going on. And I started kidding around with my buddies going, how long does it take for Bill Belichick to get on the phone and get this deal done? They're like, no.
I think a lot of people felt like that was the obvious landing spot. Although, when I went back and looked at it, I was like, who needs a receiver? And with Josh Gordon coming back, I was like, all right, it would make sense from a standpoint of they can deal with his off-the-field issues. But there was a list of teams, I think, that could have needed it more. So, in a way, like, I'm not subscribing to this was all an orchestrated thing theory. I just don't buy that. And we'll, I'm sure, get into that.
Yeah, there's a
But that certainly does lend itself to it. When you think about how many teams in this league needed a wide receiver or could have used the help, and he ends up with New England, it kind of makes you feel like it was orchestrated, especially as fast as it went down. So yeah. Do you subscribe to that theory that this was all planned?
I don't. I don't in the fact that because of the fact when you got Drew Rosenhaus, who's one of the more respectable or respected agents out there, and the fact of the matter is he has the potential to make 15 this year. And if he does that, then it kind of puts him back in kind of the ballpark to get back what he was going to make from the Raiders. But when you had $31.25 million on the table guaranteed –
yeah.
and you're going to walk from that, and assume
that
argument. You're going to bet on yourself, as he kept projecting and talking about with all of his tweets and Instagrams. I just think that's too big of a risk to try, because, look, bottom line is, everybody knows he's all world, but no one knows what's going on between his ears, and it was probably going to be, for a lot of teams, again, a way to pick up a bargain and go, hey, I'm going to pick up the phone, and if you want to play on a show-me deal for a year, we're going to capitalize and get the best out of you for a year if you can really play, and if not, it's kind of like the Carmelo Anthony deal. I want the lowest commitment I can make so that if it doesn't work, I can just wipe my hands of it and keep going.
I mean, do we really think that Antonio Brown has enough between the ears to orchestrate something like this over weeks? If it was a last second, I'm out of here, I'm going to figure out how to be out of here on Saturday, then I could maybe see that happening. Hey, get on the phone with Drew, because I'm about to just make them release me. Drew Rosenhaus's agent.
Right.
Get on the phone with New England. But I don't subscribe that this was a planned, orchestrated thing. You don't walk away from $30 million. I heard Stephen A. Smith on – and this is the one time in existence I've agreed with him. But I was arguing with Q Demps on Twitter about this, and he said he thinks Antonio Brown had a backup plan, but that he wasn't necessarily planning the whole time. And I do agree with that. I think at some point he had a backup plan, but I don't think he orchestrated this, because you don't walk away from $30 million guaranteed to get $9 million guaranteed, especially when all he had to do was play today. If he plays for right. the Raiders and then forces their hand to either be traded or released, that money was guaranteed.
Sure, but let's
so
okay,
why do you go take less? Now, I know after the fact, because we saw that it was initial $1 million, $9 million, it was $10 million guaranteed with the signing bonus and all that. And by the way, Damian Woody was saying that that can also be prorated. So it's not like he's getting his $10 million today. The Patriots can be like, nah, you'll get your $9 million over 9 games or 10 games or whatever it is. But they then added a team option for year two that would equal the $30 million, but it's an option and not guaranteed.
And it's all up to the Patriots. Yeah.
Yeah, and remember now, Stephen A. Smith made this point again. I can't believe I'm agreeing with this dude. But he also had the point, why did Antonio Brown want out of Pittsburgh to begin with? Because they wouldn't give him guaranteed money. He wanted a guaranteed long-term deal. So why would he, once he got it, the Raiders said, yes, you can have it. He's all about me. Why would he then walk away from that?
So here's the other thing, too. When you remember the Brett Favre deal, when Brett Favre left Green Bay, he wanted to go to a team that had a chance to go back and prove himself to still be worthy, that would play Green Bay at least once, if not twice. When it was the Jets instead of the Vikings, he was pissed. But he found a way to get himself out of that deal and get him to Minnesota. So what I would say is, to what you were saying, the bottom line is Drew Rosenhaus isn't doing his job if he doesn't at least have conversations with enough teams to go, look, here's a handful of teams that told me if you're released or something happens, they're going to be wanting to talk to us immediately, just so you know that there's a parachute plan in case something goes wrong. And then from there you can formulate what to do and how to do it. So I don't think that this was all orchestrated and, you know, thought through from the get-go. But I think as things kept happening more and more, the agent has to appease the client. And it was obvious by the way he was acting or reacting that with every – kudos to Mike Mayock, too, by the way, as a first-time general manager, for having,
for having
the grapes to go out and say, you know what, I don't care if this is all taken care of now or not, you still didn't do this, didn't do that, didn't do this, and you're going to pay for it. And the fact that he did that and he held to it, where I'm sure Gruden and a lot of guys are putting on pressure on him going, oh, no, you can't do that because we got to have this guy to win. So kudos to Mayock. And the fact of the matter is, regardless of how it plays out, it's going to be real interesting. Now, this may be, of all the guys New England has taken in, the Corey Dillons, the Randy Mosses, you know, the Josh Gordons, all these different guys, this may be the most trying and testing that Bill Belichick and Brady have had to endure with a guy like this.
It could be. But I feel like he's also where he wanted to be all along, because when he wanted out, he wanted to be there. I think Antonio Brown's smart enough to know that, look, the Patriots don't play that. Bill Belichick doesn't play that. Tom Brady doesn't play that. And everybody on this team, from Julian Edelman all the way around, that has been there for any length of time, are not going to tolerate the shenanigans and the antics. So I think he knows that, and he knew that before he signed the deal. There's no way that he went, well, I can go over there and be a head case like I was in Pittsburgh, where there was a definite players coach in Mike Tomlin. And then in the Raiders, where I basically they would just do anything to make me happy. I think this is a whole different ball of wax. I think New England was top of his list.
I think there was probably two or three teams where he said, kind of like the Favre deal, I want a chance to win a Super Bowl, get back at Pittsburgh, do things the way I want them done. When he knew Oakland was going to come forth with an extension when they didn't have to and rework his deal and make everything happen, and he gets to California where he wanted to be, then I think that, you know, he considered it. But you're right. At the end of the day, however he had to manipulate the system to get to where he was on a competitive team. And here's the other thing. The way to clear the slate on all the crap that he's been labeled with because of what he's pulled, if he makes it through a full year with Belichick and he's squeaky clean, then he is not going to challenge a coach or a general manager. He's going to conform to the system, and he's going to prove to other teams that, hey, he's worthy.
Did you see Pat McAfee did a thing, I guess. I don't know when it was, if it was prior to or after, but he was talking about the fact that he thinks everything changed because he's of the opinion that he's in the conspiracy theory group. He thinks this was all orchestrated by Antonio Brown, but he thinks the catalyst was Derek Carr. He got in camp, or he got with Derek Carr and saw how he played and was like, oh, no, this is going to hurt my career, not help it, because he's bad. So then he thinks he orchestrated the whole feet thing and the helmet thing, and I think that's a little far. However, I think he might be onto something where he was like, oh, damn, this is my quarterback?
I don't think you could self-inflict that to your feet, but right. I think that there are other things where you're
you
absolutely
might be
right.
Like, I'm not enamored with being here now. So that I thought that was an interesting theory as well. You know what you might be enamored with, though, is getting cash back every time you put gas in your car or food in your belly, and you can do that through the Get Upside app. You have to check this app out if you have not already, and I am absolutely loving all the listeners sending me screenshots of how much they have in their account, whether it be $25 after the first couple of weeks or $400 or $150. It all varies, but you know what? It's all real money, and it's all your money, and it's all their money, and that's why you should be using GetUpside. Go download it right now. Put in my promo code Barry when you sign up, and you'll get even more cash back on your first fill-up through the app. These gas stations want you to go to them. These restaurants want your business. That's why they partner up with GetUpside, but you can only get these cash back deals through the app, so go check it out right now. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time you fill up at over 500 gas stations around the city. Up to 35% cash back on your food. Guys, this is legit money. It's your money. And these are legit restaurants and gas stations. So go check it out right now. Download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. If you're in the big city and you're heading north, why not stop into Twin Peaks out here in Shenandoah? It's on the backside of the Woodlands. You can visit us. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz is going to be here till 7. Texans kick off at 6:10. So make an afternoon and an evening of it. Don't make an ass of yourself. Make an evening of it. And come on out for the great food, beverages, and all the incredible scenery, because Barry and I are here. And you can pick yourself up a T-shirt and have some fun in the process. So before we get into the football and everything else, Barry, because we do like to take care of our suspects.
Yeah, I want you to go to my Twitter account or your Twitter. It doesn't matter.
Either one of
I
us. Just,
yeah, I have it pinned at the top of my my Twitter, but at Barry is funny, or at Pac-Man Joel with a K. But Tyler Miller, once a year, tries to raise a little money. His son was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy 3 years ago. And so every year they do a fundraiser for Bennett's Bunch.
Bennett, yep.
And this year the goal is $250. Now, I know our suspects well enough to know that $250 is nothing for us to raise.
Right.
So I'm issuing the challenge to all of our suspects and ESPN listeners that I think we can double that. So I've thrown in $50. I'm hoping everybody else will as well, or at least throw in some money. Right now, though, if you just go to the – you can go to either at the underscore Tyler Miller, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. I have it pinned to the top of my Twitter page to find that link. Please go donate. Please go help. It's a worthy cause, and he's a suspect, so I love it when suspects support suspects. So
no
please
doubt.
Take a second on behalf of Joel and myself and Nick and everybody here to go help.
Shout out to Donna, who's always the loyalist of loyal suspects. The minute she saw it on my page, responded to me, got him, already done. Fantastic. So we'll keep that those wheels turning throughout the show, and hopefully we'll get to that that goal that we have in mind for those guys. So hopefully everything works out there. In the process of that, Barry, you were so excited because week one of the NFL got underway.
Yes.
There was so much good football. There were so many teams to see. So just right in the heart of just fantastic NFL football quality right from the get-go, things off the top of your not-so-bald head, Barry, when you start talking about the NFL week one.
My first thought, and it's not just because it was the most recent game, but holy hell, if Antonio Brown has it together between his ears with that Patriots defense and everything else, the NFL's in trouble.
I mean, think about what they started the year with in terms of what their receiving core was going to look like and how everybody was like, bye, besides Julian Edelman, this is going to be terrible. I mean, you're looking at a recycled Demaryius Thomas. You're looking at N'Keal Harry, the rookie, and they're saying, first time in Patriots history, a rookie's probably going to have 50 balls thrown to him.
Yeah.
And now instead, you're looking at Edelman, Josh Gordon, who looked like a horse last night. No one could break him down. He caught the ball in traffic. He was a beast. And then you had Antonio Brown, arguably one of the top three best receivers in the game. And like you said, as long as he's stable between the ears, Tom Brady's just got to be going,
oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is fantastic.
You know, and here's the thing is I know people want to say, well, but what about Philly? What about Dallas? Oh, did you see what the Ravens did? I mean, outside of Philly, who was behind for most of that game.
Yeah, they were.
Dallas didn't play a good team. The Ravens
like,
didn't
I was going to say, it's like
team.
Crowning Baltimore. That was the biggest thing to me. For all of the people after 1 week that thought their team was the best thing going.
But to me, this Patriots team played a really good Pittsburgh Steelers team. I mean, I thought Big Ben had a bad game, but defensively, that's a good team. That offensive line is good. Connor is a legitimate running back in the NFL. Juju Smith-Schuster is a legitimate wide receiver. Big Ben, that's a good Steelers team that they went out and absolutely dominated.
Ben put it on him, said that he made a lot of bad throws.
There
was a lot of mistakes. But here's the thing, getting back to just the whole philosophy of not trying to anoint a champion after week one. New Orleans hasn't won a season opener in over 5 years.
Yeah.
New Orleans has found a way, even losing two games in a row in a few of those seasons, to come back and win the division.
Right.
So don't write them off after week one and don't crown them. I saw too many people on Twitter that were beside themselves with joy that couldn't just contain themselves enough to say, hey, my team did great in week one. Instead, it had to be, you guys suck and you stink and we're the best and that's why we're going to run the table. Slow your roll, LSU fan. Slow your roll, Cowboy fan. Slow your roll on all those teams. Great win. Not taking anything away from anything that you guys did in last weekend's games. But next week's another story, and there's a lot of chapters left to be written, so just don't get ahead of yourself too far.
Yeah, that there was, of all the dominant performances, to me, the one that stood out again was the Patriots, just because of who they did it against. But you can't – I don't know what's going on with Kellen Moore in Dallas and the play calling, but they made Dak Prescott a lot of money yesterday.
Well, they sure did. And look, as much as you're right,
that was
my first thing to say to Cowboy fans was, look, you're playing the Giants.
Yeah.
But at the same time, to have that balance, to have that unpredictability with a Cowboys offense where instead it was hand the ball off to Zeke twice, and if he doesn't get the first down, then we'll pass it. And Randall Cobb, everybody was on me, and I said, look, I told you guys from the get-go, Randall Cobb is a hell of an addition. And you know what? He did yesterday what he's capable of doing. But the bigger thing is, can he do it for 16 weeks? Because for the last 2 years, he couldn't stay healthy, and the Packers couldn't afford to pay him, you know, $14 million a year to keep doing it for 8 games. So all things lined up for the Cowboys. There were a lot of teams that got good wins yesterday, but at the same time, it's just 1/16th of a season.
Yeah, but after week one, you got to look at that Cowboys team and think they're pretty complete.
Yeah.
And I know, again, that they were playing the Giants and Eli wasn't good. He wasn't accurate. And that, you know, the Giants, I mean, I felt like the Cowboys have the makings of being a legitimate threat.
I agree.
Because of Dak. We knew they could run the ball. I mean, I realize that they didn't have a lot, but that's because Elliott and sitting out, and that the running game is going to be fine. They had 89 total yards rushing. I'm not worried about that. The fact of the matter is, with 405 passing yards and Dak Prescott playing damn near a perfect game.
Yeah, from a quarterback rating perspective,
for me, it was the accuracy that I was impressed with. He was dropping dimes. I mean, there were some throws that it was like, I don't ever remember Dak Prescott making throws like that consistently. On occasion, you might see him drop one in, but that was scary to see how good he was in week one.
On the flip side, I will say that, again, and it's just 1 week, but for everybody that had Cleveland not only winning the division but being a Super Bowl contender, boy, I don't know how you could have crapped the bed any worse and laid around to see what would happen than what the Browns did. And Baker Mayfield threw three picks in a quarter?
Yeah. You know, through the first three quarters or so, the whole team looked pretty good. The fourth quarter was a bad quarter.
It started the wheels started to come off in the second half. And when you looked at it, the other thing that I thought Rex Ryan made a really good point at is, look, you've got a boatload of talent on the defensive side of the ball for the Browns too. But the fact of the matter is, they looked like a bunch of individual talent having no clue how to play team defense yesterday, and they got gouged and slashed by, yes, wait for it, Marcus Mariota and Henry and those guys. Henry, I guess.
I expected Henry.
Of course.
And I knew that this Titans defense was good. What I didn't expect was Mariota to have three passing touchdowns. I don't know if he'll ever have that again this
Delaney
year.
Walker back helps them again.
Oh, yeah.
But when you look at all the things that happened and you look at everybody going, well, when Andrew Luck walked away, it was going to be between the Jags and the Texans. Let's not completely forget about the Titans right now because – as you said, just with Dak's situation, same thing with Tennessee. If we kept saying, we don't even know who's going to be the quarterback at the end of the year for this team, but if they get decent quarterback play, you've already talked about how good their defense is. We know they have young receivers, they've got a workhorse running back, they've got an all-pro quality tight end, and their offensive line is good. It's going to get better when Lawan comes off the four-game suspension. So if they get decent quarterback play, they may be okay.
Their defense will keep them in most games. And the fact of the matter is, with Luck retiring and now Foles injured, they might be the second best team in the AFC South right now.
The minute it happened when Foles went down, I was like, the Texans are going to backdoor right into the division title. Then I saw Tennessee and went, well, maybe it's a two-horse race.
Also, can we just go ahead and scrap that bet? NFC
North versus AFC South?
Now it was
going to
be down two quarterbacks in the division.
Now it's going to be $10,000.
Kiss my butt. No way.
All right. Well,
no
we'll
way.
See. We'll have to figure that out. All right, so that'll be the first half hour of the show. Still got 2.5 to go. Love to have you along for the ride. Better yet, text us or tweet us. Don't really call us because we're on the road and it's tough. 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call that number or hit us on Twitter at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And while you're at one of our Twitter accounts, check in and try to make a donation if you can for our man Bennett. We'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, with AJ Jr. and Tyler, it's Joel here from Twin Peaks. Shenandoah, you want to come on out and grab yourself some lunch and hang out with the suspects. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz is going to be here till 7. It is fantastic. It is the best inside-outside Twin Peaks I have ever been in because it is luxuriously spacious, unbelievable TVs, great scenic views. The inside-outside, upstairs-downstairs thing, this place is like this massive cabin of coolness.
There's an upstairs?
Oh, yeah. Right, there sure is. Yeah, and you can have your fantasy draft up there if you want.
Yeah.
Very, very
cool. Go up
there,
take a nap.
Mark your calendars, by the way. The 10th of this month is Customer Appreciation Day at Twin Peaks. Buy one, get one wings. 6 boneless, you get to Twin Peaks. 6 free boneless wings with the purchase of 6. Valid at participating locations. Just another reason to hit one of your 5 Houston area Twin Peaks. So amongst all the things we were talking about, one of the other things that everybody was kind of taking notice of, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous, worse than how bad the Browns were, OBJ played football with a $350,000 watch on his wrist.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. What's worse, playing football with a $350,000 watch on, or spending $350,000 on a watch to begin with?
I said same conversation with Lisa.
Okay, what's worse?
I think you just have too much money on your hands if you're going to buy a watch that's that expensive. But the fact that it's kind of like buying a Maserati and then putting it in the county fair smash-up derby, you know? I mean, once you have a watch like that, you probably want to take care of it. You don't want it smashing off of helmets and defensive backs and as you're trying to, you know, receive footballs and get your teams to win a win. Yeah. I think it's more so that he wore it in a football game.
I think he's flossing. That's why he did it. He wanted to say, look, I have so much money that if this watch gets smashed, I don't care. This is like $350 to me, which is still a lot of money. Maybe it's like $35 to him.
I'll tell you the other thing.
But
I guarantee he didn't pay for it, and or because of all the publicity that the watch company got.
I'm not going to lie.
For all of this?
I looked it up. I had no idea what the hell it even was. What's it called?
Richard Mille watch.
Yeah. And I was like, there's no way that a watch costs $350,000. Oh, no. It does. It absolutely does. And there's a bunch of them. And I looked up that particular one, and they won't even give you the price online. You have to reach out for a quote. I was like, I don't understand. Look, I have my little stupid Samsung watch, and I like it. I've never understood. And the wife wanted to buy me a Rolex one time, and I was like, I mean, I guess. It's not that. I understand to a certain degree, but at the same time, there's got to be a threshold on saneness when it comes to spending money on stuff, like
a watch.
Well,
you think about it. He drove to the stadium in his custom orange Rolls Royce. He wore the watch in a game. So he's not hurting for money, and, you know, he's single dude, successful.
Yeah.
So he's just – but, again, I don't think that he spent nearly what that watch is worth. And
no.
I'm sure the company, based on all the attention they get – and speaking to the attention, now after the game, the NFL has just come out within the hour and said, hey, and by the way, we're looking into this.
And we're going to fine you.
Yeah, whether the fine comes now or it's a warning with if you do it again, there's going to be fines.
Sure.
But either way, guess what? Right at the top of the front of the ESPN front page, it's all about the watch. And guess what? When people read the article, they're going to do exactly what you do, and they're going to look at – they see the brand, they're going to look up the watch, they're going to know what it costs, and boom. They now have exposure all over the country. Before, it was Breitling and Rolex, and now Richard Mille is going to be all over the place as a up-and-coming watch company that people have to have if they're making money.
And can we talk about the fact that this is an ugly-ass watch? This watch is ugly as hell.
There's a lot going on.
I wouldn't wear this watch if it was a $2 million, $3 million watch. That is an ugly-ass watch. I feel like if you looked at it too long, it would give you a seizure. Like, it would cause a seizure.
You know
what's
weird? Before all this
happened, too much stuff going on.
And I know
that it's got rims on the side of it.
I don't ever want to be considered to be anywhere near Charlie Pulillo in terms of my sports watching viewing interest.
Uh-huh.
But in watching, I flipped over because the football game was so bad last night. I flipped over thinking that ESPN had Yankees Red Sox, and they had the fifth set going on of the U.S. Open with Rafa Nadal and Medvedev. And I see Nadal has got a watch similar to that with an orange band on. And the first thing I thought of, I know these guys are looking for every way to make extra coin on top of just their contract money, but if I'm playing sports, especially like tennis or receiving, when your hands and your mitts are so important,
yeah.
I'm not sure that I'd be wanting a wristwatch on, even golfers. I don't know that I want a watch on. I get it when I'm doing the press conference. I got to have it on before I go and hold the microphone and do the things at the podium so everybody gets a good look at it. But I don't want it to hinder my ability to make money in doing what I'm supposed to do professionally.
I take my watch off before I go weed eat.
Right.
And my watch didn't cost $350,000.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. There's one thing. It's one thing to floss. And you can do that before the game, after the game. But to spend that much money on a watch and then go out there and all you got to do is bang it against a helmet one time and that's it.
Was it when the swatches were really popular?
Oh,
didn't they have swatch guards? I mean, if you're, that's a swatch. If you're looking at watches like this, this thing should have like laser protection warnings, it should be going beep 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 every time someone gets within 3 feet of it.
I mean, tell me, would you wear that ugly ass thing? Really, would you wear it?
There's a lot going on there, man. And unless orange is your prime, is your thing? No,
I would. It wouldn't even matter. Like navy blue is my favorite color. That could be navy blue. No, it's not even about the color. It's just.
It's not bad, but it's not $350,000 good either.
I don't know. That's too much.
Only put it this way. If they gave it to you, but you had to wear it, would you wear it?
I don't honestly know if I would
wear
it.
Oh, I would.
No. I mean, for the status, but because it's a good-looking watch, no. If I wanted to floss, yeah, I would wear it. But if I was wearing it because I think it's a good-looking watch, hell no. That's not good-looking.
You change the band on it.
Oh, well, that don't change the face. Because
didn't he have an
it's
orange
the
band
face
on his?
That's the problem. Yeah, he had the one with the orange band. But the problem is the face. It looks stupid. I don't know.
Well, I think half the reason why people wear the expensive watches,
Movado,
though,
you
the
have
size,
a,
the shine, all of that come into play with that. But, yeah,
stupid.
That's something else when you're first week of the regular season and you're more concerned with the fact that you're sporting a wristwatch and getting love for that than the fact that your team didn't get any love at all and they were absolutely miserable.
Yeah, maybe next time just don't wear the watch. It's obviously bad luck.
I saw you tweeted, too. There was a clavicle-like trend going in the NFL yesterday. If you were going to get hurt and it was going to be somewhat serious, pretty sure it was going to be the clavicle yesterday.
Bro, it was not a good day for clavicles and collarbones. Obviously, Nick Foles fractures his clavicle. He's going to have surgery.
Tyreek Hill. No surgery as of now, but missing several weeks.
Devin Funchess broke his collarbone. That's according to Tom Pelissero.
Pelissero.
There you go.
Yeah.
On Twitter. Not a good day. Lots of injuries, actually. Some of them, there was, I'm trying to remember the name, interior lineman. I'm forgetting now, damn it. But there was a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that I'm not gonna lie. Okay. First of all, this is what scares me about the Texans going out there. But the one thing I did think was I thought would have been funny. Not because he would have been hurt, okay? Not because he would have been hurt. But how funny would it have been if Tom Brady, after all this Antonio Brown drama, goes out there and something happens and he gets injured and he can't play and now Antonio Brown is with the Patriots, thinking he's guaranteed a Super Bowl, and now it ain't happening. Now he's just another dude getting thrown to by a rookie who has no experience in the NFL. That would have been some sort of justice, not in a way that, you know, Tom Brady gets hurt, because you'd hate to see it.
There's a lot of people that on the flip side are saying they're I'm of the school of thought that I don't wish harm on anybody. Lot of people that are out there hoping A.B. stumbles into something that is going to prevent him from playing a whole lot this year because of how this whole thing has worked out and because it just seems like he bucked the system.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, because like when they picked up Josh Gordon and then he went through the relapse.
Right.
Instead of caring about Josh Gordon as a person and making sure he gets everything right,
yeah,
everybody's like, serves you right. He deserves it. You deserve it. And it's like, okay, there's still life that's bigger than sports, but just – I know that there's a lot of people hoping for the worst.
I wouldn't wish injury on Tom Brady, but I do think it would be hilarious if he got hurt and had to miss the season. And then the Patriots are like, yeah, well, you know, it was a bad year and all that, so we're just not going to pick up that option. And then, oh, that would be great. That would just be hilarious.
I mean, if you can get Bernard.
Is that a wing, Tyler?
If you can get Bernard Pollard.
Bro, that looks like a whole chicken.
He put him out the last time, by the way, Bernard Pollard, before he became a Texan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tyler, those I thought those were like chicken tenders. Those are massive.
Those are chickens. Those are whole chickens they got serving out here at Twin Peaks. By the way, I highly recommend the venison chili. Had that today. It was really good.
Be farting it out in about an hour.
All right.
There you go.
Burping and farting.
No doubt about it.
All right, guys. MyBookie.ag. It is football season. That means it's time to bet, win, and get paid. And you do all that at MyBookie.ag. MyBookie has odds on every single game out there. Prop bets, more so than any other sports book. And absolutely nobody pays you faster than MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Guys, I can't stress to you how important it is. you get your cash when you want it, and that's a big deal in this business, man. Some people like to slow play it and make it to where it's really difficult for you to get your money. Not at mybookie.ag. In fact, somebody even texted the show last week and said, dude, I had $1,000 in my account that I wanted to get out, and I had no problems getting it with mybookie. And that's going to be the same case for you. And did you know you can bet on games after kickoff? It's absolutely true. Or you can parlay your picks, score some huge profits on what started off as a small wager. You can do all that at MyBookie. Don't play with some no-name sports book. You don't know who you're giving your money to. You don't know what's going on. You don't even know if you're going to be able to get it back. If you're going to bet this year, bet smart. Bet with the best. That's MyBookie.ag. And when you sign up today, MyBookie's going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. That's free money to you. All you got to do is use promo code radio to take advantage of that exclusive double your money offer. Guys, go check it out. It's mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid at mybookie.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back to wrap up hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be on this Monday in Houston and the outlying areas. If you're on the north side, you need to get your tail over here to Twin Peaks and Shenandoah, right on the back side of the Woodlands. It's basically 45 and 242. You can see Barry's house from here. Barry's going to be here till 4. He might even give you a tour when he's done.
That's not true.
But at the same time, see us, say hi. Blitz will be here till 7. We'd love to see you. Hang out, grab yourself some goodies from the promo team. So lots of stuff going on here.
Ivan texted the show, and he said, hey, how do I donate to Bennett's Bunch if I'm not on Twitter? Do you have a link? I don't know the easy way to answer that, Ivan. I'll look into it, but I'm not quite
I'll drop Tyler a note right now. And
maybe we can get an easy link, like a bit.ly link, bit.ly. I might be able to create one. That's just a lot of effort on my part.
He's listening, too, so there's a chance that he'll chime in and let us know. Okay. But I appreciate you willing, Ivan, to donate to the cause. So appreciate that.
I didn't see it because I just now checking the text line, but we do have to give a shout-out to Titan Hugo.
Yep.
He was like, what up, suspects? How about them Titans? You like that? You like that? Put the Browns back in their kennel. Believe in the Titans. I mean, I'm believing for now, Hugo.
Flip side? Steelers fan Juan?
Yeah.
Not so much.
Not as happy.
So, there you have it. You know what? For, what do they call that? The ebbs and flows and the yin and the yang. It's one day you're going to, that's what I keep saying.
Yeah.
One week you're going to have the yin, and the next week you're going to get the yang. So, take it all in stride because, you know, the other thing was all the people from LSU that went absolutely off off the planet to say how great they were. Great win, okay? But it's just one win. You still have a full SEC schedule to get through. I'm happy they have an offense. I'm a bigger fan of LSU than Alabama all day, every day. But, again, it's just one week. So you got to kind of pace yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I had to mute Tracy Cowley. It was ridiculous. It was too over the top for me. I'm all for supporting your team, but my God, it there was a lot of wheeze in there, and just it was rough. It first of all, there was so much surrounding this game.
You said meese or wheeze?
Wheeze.
Oh,
there was a lot. I mean, just the Matthew McConaughey and the disappointment on his face at the end when that was a third or fourth down ended up being a touchdown, and he punched his hand and he screamed the F word, and that made me so happy to see. The fact that Texas was so petty, they put the LSU band at the top of the stadium.
Yes, they did.
Was absolutely hilarious. Well played, Texas. I
you
love
like that.
That. I love that. Absolutely, I love that.
Man, I thought that was kind of pathetic.
Well played, Texas. I think both Joe Burrow and Sam Ehlinger were fantastic.
Played good.
Surprised me to see both of them playing like that. I think both teams have their quarterbacks.
We agree? Can we just bury DBU for now?
I tweeted that out, and I tweeted like a note from management that said, there has been almost 800 yards passing with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I'm going to need everybody on both sides to turn in your DBU t-shirt.
And all you Florida State fans who think it's you, did you see what y'all did for the last 2 weeks? No. Let's just throw it out.
Yeah, DBU, nobody earned that title in this game. It was pretty bad. There was what? 471 yards passing from Burrow, 401 yards passing from Ellinger, so 872 yards passing between the two of them.
Of those three schools, skip DBU, just change it to D ain't you, because none of you can play defense right now, and let's just put it on the shelf for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Longhorns are a Big 12 defense. I still think that defense is going to be pretty good. I don't know who to give credit to. I don't know, do you say that the Longhorns defense wasn't good and that LSU offense is good? Or is that the Longhorn defense was, you know, good? It's just LSU's was better. I don't know how to. I can't figure it out yet. We're gonna find out. But I think we know what this Texas team is. We know what this LSU team is now because they played each other, and I think they're both good football teams. Which begs the question: the poll is out, the rankings are out for week three. Here's your top five: Clemson 1, Bama 2, Georgia 3. LSU 4, Oklahoma 5. You good with LSU at 4?
I think all things being considered and with who everybody's played so far and everything like that, I'm fine with that for now.
Are you?
It's not going to be the telltale at the end of the year, so I'm okay with that because LSU went on the road in a tough environment with a lot of question marks, with a new offense and a new offensive coordinator and all the different things they did, and they won a big-time football game. So I'm fine with that for the time being. I think that, obviously, if everybody was playing tough opponents yesterday and we saw what everybody else put on the table, it might be different. But for now, I'm good. You're not?
No, I think LSU should be number two.
All the way to two?
Yeah, I do. They just beat the number nine team in the country who dropped a
little
bit.
I thought you were saying they were too. That was too high for them.
No.
Okay.
No, I think they're too low. I think this should be number two. Who has Bama played? Bama hasn't played
Georgia
anybody.
Too.
Georgia hasn't played anybody.
Right.
At least Clemson just played the number 12 team in the country in A&M and made them look bad. Yep. So I could see justifying leaving at Clemson at number one because the Aggies dropped all the way to 16, and that wasn't even close. That was a rout. That A&M touchdown, I mean, that was not a close game.
Let me tell you something. The only thing that did was piss off a whole bunch of gamblers.
Ooh,
when
boy.
You had everybody that was sitting
or
pretty.
Or made a lot of gamblers so happy.
There were two games yesterday. The Redskins game where they scored with 6 seconds left against the Eagles, and that A&M game that you know Vegas, there was half 50% of the crowd that was turning over and screaming bloody murder.
No doubt. It was a bad beat for a lot of folks.
Yep.
However, I think with LSU – playing the way that they did against the number nine team in the country, they absolutely deserve. Now, remember, these polls are week to week. That's
sure.
why you'll see guys drop out and come back. And, you know, A&M at 16, all they have to do is beat an Auburn or something like that, and they're going to catapult up the polls again. But since it is fluid, and since you just had LSU, who was number six, beat number nine and beat them soundly, that was a good game. That was no doubt that they were the better football team in that game. I think you move them to number two, and you tell Bama and Georgia, all right, we get it, but you got to prove it. You played cream puffs, you played powder puffs, and when you
pay
do
the
that
price.
Early.
And when you earn it, then you get back up. I see that
when
point.
When teams play other ranked teams early and win, they should be rewarded for it in the polls, and I think LSU got job this week.
By the way, is there a dairy farm somewhere either near LSU and or Austin from this weekend? Because holy crying over spilled milk. I mean to tell you, Longhorn fans – if you just heard what Barry said, if you saw what I saw, just take the L and keep moving on. You know what? It was a good game. You guys played well. But all these Longhorn fans coming out of the woodwork with, they had 48 timeouts. Every time they were trying to play up-tempo, they said they had an injury, and then they walked off the field just fine. I mean, seriously? Just slow down. At the end of the day, both teams played the way they had to. You know, they did what they had to do. They played the same game under the same conditions. And the fact of the matter is, you got beat. Just accept it. I hated hearing all the spilled milk after the game of, well, if they didn't take 48 timeouts, we would have won that game. No, I don't see the correlation with you winning. If you want to say that you had a chance to play your offense a little bit more consistently at an up-tempo, I'll hear that. But I still think at the end of the day, you got to make the throws, make the plays, and win the game.
Yeah.
And I didn't see you in a position to do that.
Yeah, I'd agree. There was a few upsets on Saturday. I mean, you had Cal beating Washington, who was 14 in the country.
SC played with a backup quarterback. SC beat Stanford. That was big. Yeah. Although you want to keep it classy. Did you see that? And the ESPN sideline reporter was tweeting it. Not for just a series. Not for just a quarter. For the entire game, the USC fan base at the game, FU Stanford.
Wow.
Consistently picked up on all the mics.
I like it.
Without a break.
I'm all right with that, I guess.
That's a bit much.
Is it?
Yeah.
So the upset yesterday was number 14, Washington, lost to Cal 2019. Maryland put an absolute ass-whooping on Syracuse, 63-20. Syracuse was 21 in the country. USC beat Stanford, like you said. That game wasn't close, 45-20. Stanford was ranked 23. Nebraska, 25, fell to Colorado, 34-31. I wasn't a big believer in Nebraska to begin with.
A lot of people were, though.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said before, I wasn't a big believer in Auburn. But they beat Oregon and they beat Tulane. They're 2-0. They're eighth now in the country. And
Oregon doesn't look so good.
No, Oregon doesn't look great either. But you got to respect. I guess you got to respect Auburn. I mean, we'll see what they are once they start SEC play.
I mean, I was going to say, but when you know that it's a top tier SEC team, I think they're going to be okay. I don't know how great they're going to be. That remains to be seen. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, they got a freshman quarterback, but they still got a hell of a lot of talent around him that they're going to be okay.
Biggest movers in the poll, Washington fell 9 spots to 23. Aggies fell 4 spots to 16. And your biggest move up looks like Wisconsin moved up 3 to 14.
They haven't played much of anybody, but they that won 61-0.
That was the big moves in the poll.
There you go. All right, there's a little college football, a lot of NFL. We still got Astros to get to. We feel like we're kind of like everybody else in Houston. You forgot the Astros even played yesterday because you were so focused on football all weekend. But, boy, did they play and ever. Happy belated to Garrett Cole, and did he earn a present there yesterday as well. He pitched well. The Astros won again. We'll get to that in hour number two. Don't go anywhere. Back with much more. It is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.